Now, we move on down in this 11th chapter of Hebrews to the next man. Let's look at Enoch, and in him you see the walk of faith. When you come to God through Christ, the way, then you are to walk. And it's the walk of the believer that becomes important. By faith, Enoch, we're told, was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Enoch pleased God, but how did he do it? By faith. And the writer here goes on to say, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, friends, unless you're willing to come God's way and believe him, you couldn't possibly please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In this epistle, there's a great deal said about reward. And the reason for that is, the emphasis here is upon the Christian life in light of the fact that we have a living Savior up there today who's for us. And there's a reward for living the Christian life. But salvation is not a reward. It's a free gift. You work for your reward, but not for salvation. That comes by faith. But the walk of the Christian is also by faith. And we are told that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. That means that we're going to have to go back to Genesis and pick up the story of Enoch there. You take the 5th chapter of Genesis, and that's where you find Enoch mentioned the first time, and it's a very sad chapter. We're told in Adam all die. Well, it sure started out that way. We're told this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. That's Genesis 5:1. And then we're told that Adam lived so long, he begat a son. And here Seth is mentioned. We follow that line. And then Adam died. And then Seth, he lived and begat a son. And he died. All died. In Adam, all died. And that's the way it's been going on now for a long, long time. But there's one exception. And when you get to verse 21... you read, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. Well, we're going to talk a little about Methuselah, his son, but we're going to see Enoch, and in that we'll see the walk of faith. Now let's go back and look at the story of this man, Enoch. And we saw in this 5th chapter of the book of Genesis, just like walking through a cemetery, and reading what's on the tombstones. Only thing is, so-and-so was born, he lived, and begat a son, and he died. Becomes really monotonous, and it's a rather sad story of mankind today. It's the same picture in this present hour in which we live. Things haven't changed, friends. There may be an evolution in another area, but there's certainly been none in this area. Man still dies. Oh, I know the lifespan has been extended a few years, but what's a few years when you put it down by 1,000 or eternity? Well, when we get to this 5th chapter of Genesis, we read in verse 19, and Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. He begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. That's true of all of them up to this point. And then after Enoch, they all died. Even Methuselah, we're told, died. But this man Enoch didn't die at all. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, that's the story of Enoch. Obviously, in the fifth chapter, we are following a very definite line. We're following a certain genealogy, because we find that all of these begat sons and daughters, but we're not told anything about them. One particular son is lifted out. Now, Jared had a boy by the name of Enoch. Now, we're told Enoch lived 65 years. He begat a man by the name of Methuselah. Now, he had other children, but this firstborn, apparently, was Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, I don't know what he did before he begat Methuselah, but I assume he did not walk with God. But one day he went into the nursery and looked down in a crib, and there's a little fella, and he's just kicking as much as you please, and his name was Methuselah. Now, we always think of Methuselah being an old man who walked on his beard and got in his way. But actually, he was a little baby at one time. And this man, Enoch, looked down, and when he saw this little baby, it changed his life. He began to walk with God. I do not know what it was before. It could have been careless. It could have been a life that was lived in indifference and maybe an open sin. I do not know. The record doesn't say. It just says that he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. But he looked down and saw that little fella, and he recognized his responsibility. Now, I read for you a letter that influenced a family to write to me, and they even called attention to the fact a little child shall lead you. Well, if the presence of a baby in the home won't change your lifestyle, friends, nothing else will. The preacher won't be able to say very much, and I'm sure that what I have to say would not affect you at all. But God gave you that little fella, and these little ones have a way of speaking for God, and they don't say a word. They come out of the everywhere into the here, and they seem so fresh, and somehow or another, they bring a message from God, and certainly Methuselah did for this man Enoch, and changed his lifestyle, and he had other children. But this man Enoch didn't die. It says he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And now you have the walk of faith. And when we get back now to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. Before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. His walk pleased God. Because he walked by faith, not by rules and regulations, but he walked in a manner to please God. He believed in God, and he walked in a manner that pleased him. And then God took him. He didn't die. He was translated. This is the first rapture that's in the Bible. Only one man was raptured. He was removed from this earth's sin and was taken away. Now you're going to have quite a picture here, by the way, as I think a spiritual message. There are those that believe the church will go through the great tribulation, and they use Noah as an example. Now, Noah represents not the church, but he represents those that are in the world that are going to be saved during the great tribulation, and God's going to keep them. You say, who are they? Well, I can identify them. 144,000 of the nation Israel, and then a great company of Gentiles. They're not in the church. We're told that before the winds of the great tribulation began to blow across the earth, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse began to ride, that 144,000 out of the nation Israel were sealed. and then another company, and that is a great company of Gentiles. And they are represented by Noah. God can keep you in the great tribulation, but it's not a question of whether God can keep the church. He could. The question is, does he? What does he say? Well, he says that he's going to remove the believers. He told the church in Philadelphia, I'm going to keep you from that hour that's coming on the earth. It's going to try the whole earth. Well, what hour is going to try the earth? The only one mentioned in Scripture is the Great Tribulation period. There's none other mention. So apparently this great company of both Jew and Gentile are to be kept. Noah represents them. But you see, these folk that use Noah as an example of the church, they forget about Enoch. Enoch didn't go through the flood. He was translated. He was not in the ark. God could have put him in the ark, but he didn't. He could have kept him during the flood, but he didn't do that. He removed him. And that's what he's going to do with the church. And so Enoch represents the church. And he was translated. I like that word, translation, because it means you take something out of one language and you put it in another. I listened to the tape of our broadcast in South America in Spanish. And I listened to the introduction, the song, How Firm a Foundation's in Spanish. And believe me, they got a quartet down there that really does a fine job singing. I can't understand a word they're saying, but then there's the announcer comes on. He has a marvelous voice. And then the man giving my messages, he's reading them, but you'd never know it. And he's doing an excellent job. Someone said, the manager of the station wrote down, said, we have everything except your Texas accent. Well, I like the way he did it. And that was a translation. It was taken out of one language, put in another language for South America. Well, may I say to you that Enoch was translated out of one sphere of life and translated into another. God took him. And the best way I know to describe it is to describe it as a little girl did that came home from Sunday school. And a mother said to her, said, what did the teacher tell you about today in Sunday school? And the little girl said, she told us all about this man Enoch. And you can see that was not a modern Sunday school because the kids weren't playing and building something and listening to a little story about little Sam or little somebody else on the good neighbor policy. This was a good old-fashioned Sunday school that taught the Bible. And so the little girl said that all about Enoch. And the mother says, well, what about Enoch? And she told it this way. And friends, I couldn't tell it any better than this way that the little girl said. She said that Enoch lived a long time ago, and God would come by every afternoon and say to Enoch, Enoch, would you like to take a walk with me? And Enoch said, yes, he'd like to take a walk with God. And so every day, God would come by Enoch's house, and Enoch would go walking with God. And said, one day, God came by and said, Enoch said, let's take a long walk today. I want to talk to you. And so they started out. Enoch got his coat and everything and even his lunch. And they started walking. And they walked and they walked and walked. And finally, it got late. And Enoch said, my, it's getting late. And we're long ways from my home. Said, maybe we better start back. And God says, Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are to your home. So you come on, go home with me. And so Enoch went home with God. Now, friends, I don't know how to say it any better than that. And that's going to happen one day with the church. Church walking with God like Enoch did. And one day, God's going to take us home. The Lord Jesus is coming. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Friends, that's the way the little girl told it, and that's the way I think it is.